Herzlich willkommen zu Mein Element, dem Podcast vom Lützebäuer Journal und Zusammenarbeit mit dem Fonds National de la Recherche.
I feel I had a lot of luck in the different steps of my career. And I think research is of course a lot of work, but it's also a question of luck and chance. And so it's important to also study this topic in Luxembourg, even if the country is one of the richest of Europe. I'm a terrible car driver. I'm sure that's the place where I will die. Another question?
Und immer da, herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Episode von Mein Element. Mein Name ist Max und mein echter Witte von dieser neuen Staffel ist Dan-Kathrin Guillot. Forscherin, Zöllenzauberin und die allererste Aussprechperson beim Thema Kannerarmut an Europa. Da das nämlich das Feld, an dem Dan-Kathrin forscht. Aber wie das da ein bisschen schwer Thema ist, regeln wir das mal ein bisschen noch an das Episode, aufhängen und mit einer kleinen Intro zum Kathrin. Weil ich schon hat, genauso wie Alminger Witte in der letzten Staffel gefragt, wie hat er gehst sein Beruf erklären, weil mir also noch nicht für den Podcast, mehr ob einer Party für dich getroffen hätten.
It's always impossible to introduce my job. After 1 minute I lost the intention of the other people, so I'm afraid I'm very boring when I speak about my job. No, more seriously, I think I study income distribution and poverty in Europe. I have always been interested in the topics of inequalities and so on. And so it's very interesting and important topic, I think, at the societal level. And also very difficult, I think. It's less easy than foreseen at first sight, because you have to find good indicators, have robust analysis before drawing conclusion that can be useful for policymakers. So, yeah.
Langweilig schenkt ihm an Kathrin so schön zu gehen aus ihrem Beruf. Ich muss aber ehrlich sagen, sie vom schlimmsten Ausgang. Ich habe gedacht, boah, okay, am worst case sitzt du eine Person, die den ganzen Tag nicht anders das muss, wieder mit tippen, auf den Bildschirm gucken, Excel-Fischchen hin und her kopieren, die einfach so extrem drüschen ist. Dann habe ich dann Kathrin kennengelernt und habe mir gedacht, dem ist ja gar nicht so. Dann Kathrin war schlagfertig, witzig, ehrlich und mega direkt. Und von diesem verstöpsten Image, von dem ich ein bisschen Angst hatte, war am Anfang nicht wahr. Und dafür frage ich mich, war das alles nicht mehr billig Präjudizien? Oder sagt dann Kathrin, ja, das stimmt aber vielleicht ein bisschen etwas.
It's not my experience, because I have, of course, I have many hours in front of my screen playing with the data and analyzing the data, but coordinating big EU projects is mainly being in contact with people and distributing the work. I know a lot of people working in statistics who are excited by the job the pro of this job is you don't only do analysis. I mean, you have a lot of other things to do, especially when you coordinate large projects. So you have to work with a lot of people in all EU countries, distributing the job, writing the guidelines, analyzing the inputs and better understanding the policies. And so for that, you don't need to be in your data set. You need to be in the real life and to understand the policies in place and read evaluations and so on. So I think it's a complex range of tasks, which at the end of the day is very exciting.
At what moment did you notice that numbers are fun? Or are fun for you?
Yeah, I think since the beginning, I like playing with numbers. I like all the data issues, and even cleaning the data, I find it exciting. And I like studying the good method to analyze the data, just to find the adequate methodology and so on. So I really like that topic, but not per se. I mean, I like to use it in my field, which is analysis of inequalities and poverty and distribution and so on. So I like both sides. I mean, the data issues and the topic I study.
Can you get creative in your job?
At many points, I think. at every step of the wall, I think you have to be creative. If you are involved in the survey design and in the questionnaire design, then you have to feel the right way to ask the question, which is important. In terms of econometrics and data analysis, you have to be creative because you have to imagine the good method to use. In terms of the design of your research, of a big network, then you have to be very creative to have all the dimension of the problems treated in your network. So yeah, I think there is a lot of possibilities to be creative. Yeah.
Because also their cliche, it's only numbers. Numbers aren't creative. So that's totally wrong.
Yeah, totally wrong. Yeah.
Dann Katrin, also aber nicht nur Forscherin. Und so etwas hat, du sprichst Person Nummer 1, wann es darum geht, Zahlen und Statistiken zum Thema Kinderarmut in Europa zu präsentieren. An dem Programm stehen dann also Präsentationen, Reden, Talkshows, Live-Interviews und wer denn sich noch alles kann an den Medien vorstellen, mehr eben nicht nur für eine kleine Gruppe, mehr auf der nationalen Tele zu Lützburg und an der Belge.
Anne-Catherine Guillot, bonjour. Vous avez travaillé sur ces chiffres de la pauvreté des enfants.
Mais on commence tout de suite par se plonger dans cette nouvelle étude qui sort sur les enfants qui vivent en situation de pauvreté. Bonsoir, Anne-Catherine Guillot. Vous avez co-réalisé cette étude avec Frank Vandenbroek.
45% von den monoparentalen Familien zu Lützburg leben unter der Armutsgrenze weit über dem europäischen Durchschnitt, die liegt bei 33%. Avite vom Dach der Moin ist Anne-Catherine Guillot, Chercheuse beim Forschungsinstitut LISER, mit Entringer feiert das Gespräch.
Von hart an dem Mikro schwärzt, hören nicht Millionen von Leuten. An Menge Erfahrung noch, kann das natürlich von außen relativ lässig ausgesehen. Aber bei mir ist es innerlich so, dass es mir warm und kahl geht. Ich fange nun nervös mit Hibbeln, ich gucke regelmäßig auf Dauer, und merke nur, wie mein Herz fängt, viel mehr fest auf mich hart zu pochen, und Zeit geht mir los. Ich gucke auf meinen Text, verlese mich schon dauernd, weil ich mich Zeile verliere. Ich gucke rum auf Dauer, und es geht irgendwie dafür die anderen Sachen, und hält so Kleinigkeiten richtig bewusst vor, und ich gucke rum auf Dauer, und dann gucke ich rüber und sage, ich muss noch fangen, über der Kamera aufzählen. 3, 2, 1, an der Bühne geht es. Zumindest ist es bei mir so. Aber dann Katrin ist, ja, wie soll ich sagen, ein bisschen wie lässig an so Sachen.
Surprisingly, I'm never nervous with the media. I don't understand why. Because I can be during conference, during academic conference, that's quite terrible and my heart is beating and so on. That's terrible for me. Sometimes it really depends. I don't know on what. I think it depends on the people I know in the conference room. If I know people we are very good in the field and they are in the conference room at the first in front of me, so I'm nervous. I don't feel nervous in the media, even at the television live and so on. I don't feel nervous at all. That's very surprising, no? Because I can really be destroyed before a conference and then I have to start. And when I start, that's fine. But I don't know.
But is it because you are scared to make a mistake or is it because you want to impress them, people?
Because everything is done now. When you are there to present your work, it's too late.
At the beginning that you're nervous.
I don't know. I don't know why, actually. I don't know.
Do you have a special ritual to prepare yourself, that you, before you sleep, read your presentation again, or that you don't look at your presentation at all?
The bad thing is I'm always relaxed before the presentation, so I don't prepare myself too much, even not at all sometimes. And it's when I'm there, I said, oh my God. Oh no, where I am. And then I can feel nervous, anxious a few minutes. And then when I start walking, that's fine. But yeah.
And how can people get so cool like you?
I'm not so cool, but No, I feel confident. I mean, in
but is there some in some ways that you got this confident? Is there a trick to become?
So I can confident. Be stressed because I had a lot, I have a lot of things to do. I want to do them well. And so I can be really stressed and busy and so on. And when it's done, it's done. And when I present the result, I only present the result I'm sure about. So that's it. After that, it's a more question of selling your research and communicating correctly and so on. So I think it's another communication is another job. Mm-hmm. And when you are a researcher, you have to be a good researcher, a good data analyst, and also a good communicator. It's another job. And we are not really prepared to be communicator at the beginning of the career. So you have to test yourself and to do it a lot before being confident, I think. But no, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not always relaxed, but I can be stressed by the quantity of task, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have some kind of media training, for example, that you have to do at a moment where, for example, Eurostat, Delisa, or your previous workstation said, the moment you talk to the media, we want you to have to do this workshop, for example, that you know how to present yourself, your work, or is everyone just thrown into the water and enjoy the sharks, like in this style?
Not so far. That's true that a part of my media intervention are in Belgium, where I'm known as a poverty specialist, and it's not exactly included in my job description here. So I think it's, yeah, much personal willingness to contribute to the debate in the media. No, I think it's, you have to be careful and you have to know it, but I have not received any training in Eurostat, in EWEPS or anywhere else.
Would it be better if researchers would get this kind of training?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of risk in such intervention. That's why in most institutes, that's only the CEO who speaks to the media. And I think it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Because he at the end takes the responsibilities for everything that will be published. Yeah.
Schöne Loscher und Pummel gesucht, dann Katrin das Nummer 1 auf seinem Feld. Und hat so einen Schnitt einfach nicht mehr so, weil hat die Statistik nur 50 und noch 100 sich kann erst für einen Job suchen. Nee, das hat einen anderen Grund. Und zwar hat die Statistik revolutioniert. Ursprünglich hat er einfach einen bestimmten Wert geholt und einfach Lützeburg mit all den anderen Ländern an der EU verglichen. Das ist aber natürlich nicht so einfach, weil wenn ihr zum Beispiel den Mindestlohn hält, aus der ihr komplett anders das zu Lützeburg, par rapport zu Deutschland oder Rumänien. Gleichzeitig ist der Loyer in Rumänien und Deutschland anders wie zu Lützeburg. Das heißt, es kann ihn das nicht ein zu ein vergleichen. Und dann, als dann Katrin auf die Idee kommt, einen komplett anderen Wert zu benutzen. Außerdem geht den an alle Statistik mit abberechend. Ich habe dann Katrin gefragt, wie hoffrisch ist ihn eigentlich, wenn ihn eine Statistik revolutioniert, und vor allem, wie schwer war das, an alle Memberstaaten durchzuboxen.
It has really been a difficult task because so we had to convince 28 countries at that time to agree upon the child deprivation indicator. And so it was really important that these indicators was extremely robust and comparative between country. And to reach that level of robustness, we had to do with a team in Bristol. We had to do a lot of statistical work showing the validity, the efficiency, the robustness of the indicator, the comparative nature of the different items included in the indicator. So there was a lot of statistical work behind this indicator, which is really easy to understand. I mean, I can explain it to a child It's just 18 questions about what you can afford to do during your daily life. Can you afford to eat vegetable, have proper shoes, have a few clothes, going on holidays 1 week per year. So it's really easy to understand. And that's, I think, the strength of this indicator. It's easy to explain to the media, to the policymaker, and everybody can understand what it means in the daily life of the children of being in a situation that you cannot afford basic items. But behind these very simple indicators, there was a lot of statistical work showing that it's robust. And robust means that when the situation gets worse, your indicators have to increase and not the opposite. That's important. And comparative between Romania and Sweden, it's not so easy. Yeah? So that was a tricky aspect of this the development of this indicator. And that's why it took almost 10 years. Yeah, because we had to collect a first round of data, testing everything, it works. And then we needed a second round of data to be sure that across time it was still working. So it was a long process.
And could this also work, for example, for countries in Asia? Or in countries in Asia or Africa? Is it only exclusive to Europe?
That's a very good question, because the method we applied, so the rules of construction, not of course the question itself, but the rules of construction we applied can work everywhere. And it worked very well in New Zealand. So New Zealand has now the same indicators as we have. And it was also applied in Latin America, in Asia, and different parts of the world. And there, it's not exactly the same question in the surveys, but it's the same rules, which has been developed by a team in Bristol, and that we have applied at the EU level.
Okay, yeah. Cool, great.
Yeah, that's really great.
Aktuell leidt den EU-Durchschnitt von den Kanner, die von der Armut oder sozialer Ausgrenzung bedroht sind, bei geschatenen 23,4%. Das ist ein bisschen weniger wie alle vier Kanner an der EU. Wie ich die Zahl gelesen habe, war ich schockiert, weil alle vier Kanner, ich meine, wir sind uns alle bewusst, wie krass die Zahl ist. Also nicht die Statistik für die echte Kehr gelesen und sind schockiert. Denn Katrin schafft seit 10 Jahren den Beruf und liest das quasi all Tage immer beneut. Aber nicht ganz ehrlich sind, hätte ich schon nur 3 Wochen Bengel bei Trom gehalt und mich mit mir positive Statistiken befasst. Aber dann Katrin ist eben nicht so. Für hat ist natürlich auch frustrierend, aber gleichzeitig zieht er doch eine Art Motivation daraus.
No, I think it's useful. I need to feel useful. So I think it's a topic where you can feel that you have a role to play, even a minor one. But I think even if the progress are not as big as I would like, I always think that it could be worse without publishing results on child poverty and so on. So I think policymakers and the society as a whole have to be aware of the situation, and someone has to work on this. And I'm happy to do so. Of course, I feel some frustration at some point, because I think the situation could be improved quicker than it is. I mean, it's not such a huge investment to eradicate child poverty. So it's possible and can be frustrating to think that it's not as quick as you would like. But that's life, I think. Yeah. I feel full of hope. I think we know better and better the impact of child poverty on children's life and the prospect as adults. And it's important to raise again and again that it's important to invest in this topic. Yeah.
And how is Luxembourg in this statistic? How many children live here in poverty?
Actually, Luxembourg is a particular case because the standard of living are quite high. So there are not so much children in deprivation in their daily life, but there are. But it's one of the lowest share in Europe. But according to the income poverty, the share is important. It's very high. So I think it's an important topic in Luxembourg as well, because in terms of relative poverty, children are under the poverty threshold. A lot of children. It's particularly a problem for lone parents in Luxembourg and for in work poor. So really active age population who has children are at risk of poverty if they don't have a decent job or if they don't have a job at all. And so it's important to also study this topic in Luxembourg, even if the country is one of the richest of Europe. Yeah.
Dann Katrin, also ihr Berufsfeld, haben wir ja mittlerweile viel belegt. Aber wie sieht eigentlich mit der Privatperson an Katrin aus? Weil du sich als das ja auch Ziel vom Podcast Mein Element. Also Forscher und Forscherinnen auch handelt ihren Beruf zu weisen, wie sie dann auch privat ticken. Eine übliche Frage, die ich dann mal stellen ist, was musst du gerne in der Freizeit? Und diejenigen von euch, die schon ein, zwei, drei Episoden Mein Element gelöscht haben, können sich schon vorstellen, was du dann von uns. Und darauf sehen, habe ich gedacht, okay, stell es nach einer anderen Privatfrage. Und so mal so, dann von ob die Frage wird mich ein bisschen überrascht.
So, I really like nature. So, it's really my cam. So, when I have free time, I like to be in the nature, either cycling or hiking or walking and so on. And I have the chance to have three dynamic boys. So, my free time is not so difficult to occupy, actually.
And you said you're a mother of three. How is it if they come home with math homework and don't get it? Do you get nervous because it's so simple for you?
Exactly. So they can be bad at school, but not in math. That's the rule of the home. That's perfectly true.
I can imagine that because I thought, oh man, the times I had to do my homework in math and nobody could explain it to me because I was too stubborn at some point to not learn it, that I didn't want to have the solution at some point. But if you also have an expert at home, the thing is much more, much harder.
Yeah, I think my children always told me, no, don't tell us it's easy. It's not easy. Yeah, it's true.
What kind of car driver are you? What kind of a car driver? Yeah,
are you? I'm a terrible car driver. I'm sure that's the place where I will die. Another question.
So. Yeah, because I always think that you know people, and then when you sit with them in a car for the first time, you know them from a whole different level. So how they deal with stress, or when something doesn't works like they want to do, or
I'm not stressed, but I'm absent-minded. Okay. So that's terrible.
So you very zone out at that point. Thinking about your job, or
I think about everything, but not the road and the odor on the road. No, I'm terrible. That's really a problem. So you touch upon, you are very good because you touch upon my main problem in my life. Yeah.
Ich meine, spätestens lo aus dem richtigen Moment für zu sagen, wenn du am Auto unterwegs bist, auch schon 3 Stunden fährt, fahr dein Kehr jetzt bei, und mach eine kleine Pause, trink ein bisschen Wasser, atme gut durch, weil ich meine, Sicherheit um Steuer geht viel. Aber komm mal zurück bei dann Katrin. Bis lo sind wir schon mal davon ausgegangen, dass wenn ihr seinen Beruf schon länger mischt, dass es immer den Moment gibt, wo ich kann sagen, ja, schon ein paar Fehler gemacht, schon draußen gelehrt, und das geschieht mir nicht mehr. Aber wie ich dann Katrin noch singen, größte Fail gefroht und hat gesagt, du, ganz ehrlich, schad noch keinen.
To tell you the truth, I have the opposite feeling. That's true that I work hard, but I have the feeling that at each step I was extremely lucky. And I met the good person at the right place, at the right moment, and that make me... that helped me to make progress in my career and to better know what I wanted to do and to find another job and so on. So I feel really lucky in my career, really, and I'm very grateful to I don't know what, but I feel I had a lot of luck in my in the different steps of my career, and I think research is it's of course a lot of work, but it's also a question of luck and chance and
Are you a big socializer also? So that you said that you met the right people at the right place, but at some point you have to prove the people that they want to work with you, or is your job not that social, in fact?
Yeah, you're right. There is a social dimension during the conferences where we present our results and during the coordination of the networks, you have, of course, you have to have this dimension as well, and you have to be good at in relation to the people and to be good in understanding what they want to do, what they could do, and so on. So I think it's important. It's not a job where you stay in your office and you don't meet anyone and that's it. At least the way we do it here. But here we are not specialists in statistics. We use statistics in our job, which is different. I mean, different from the job in National Statistical Institute where people produce the data set that we use. That's perhaps the difference.
Wann in dem Ann-Kathrin Sunola statt, da fällt einem ob, das hat die ganze Zeit ein Onliners. Und wenn man da meinst du nicht, das hat um Smartphone hängt oder Twitter um Laptop unhört, nee, ich meine, mein Gehirn. Die ganze Zeit print hat Lösungen zu Problemen raus und hört am Hammerkopf immer seine Deadlines. Und ich frage mich, wie anstrengend ist das eigentlich, wenn man immer muss aus dem Job denken? Und ist das ein Deal für seinen Beruf? Oder ist da den großen Deal für seinen Charakter? Und genau da tun ich dann, Kathrin gefroht.
No, I think it's not an obligation, it's a choice. It's the way I feel I should do this job. I mean, no, it's I don't feel it hard. When we have a lot of deadlines during the holidays and the weekend, of course, it's not easy in terms of family organization and so on. But that's the way it is. I mean, if you want to rest during the weekends and holidays, it's better to choose another job, I think. Mm-hmm. If you decide to apply in a call of interest at the EU level on certain topics, you know, if you are coordinating a big network, you know that you will be busy the full year and including your holidays and so on. So I think it's also a question of choice and commitment. You're right. I can imagine that it should be possible to do this job with less deadlines and burden, work burden during the free time, I guess. But it's not always easy to find a way to be enthusiastic and to be committed and to protect your personal life. I mean, that's really the trade-off, the difficult trade-off for me. And I think I have my responsibility, my situation, so I don't complain. I think that's the way I am, which explain the situation where I'm working, yeah.
Have you ever been like this?
If I feel it could be an interesting research that could possibly improve the situation in terms of policy, social policy and so on, I can really commit myself a lot and work hard. But I couldn't do that for any project,
And also when you were a kid, what was your dream job? So what you always wanted to become? Because If you now say you always wanted to work in statistics, wow.
No, not at all. I wanted to be a pilot. Yeah, a plane pilot. But after a while, I discovered that I had a headache, big headaches, and that's really an exclusion criteria to be pilot. So it was really terrible for me. And that's why I studied economics. And that's why I think I am here now.
And now you still fly through the whole of Europe. So
yeah, but you know, during each flight, I feel like a regret not to be the pilot of the plane, but that's life.
Then thank you very much for your
time.
Thank
you to you. It was very nice to discuss with you.
Yeah, yeah. I learned a lot.
you were very well prepared. That was really amazing.
Thank you very much.
Ich nervite von der neuen Staffel. Check. Ich hoffe, ihr schaut die Episode mit Anne-Kathrin genauso viel gefallen wie mir. Und wenn ihr mehr wollt, ihr was hat, und ihr was nervenär wissen, dann geht einfach mal in die Shownotes gucken. Da sind wie immer die wichtigsten Links natürlich abgelöscht. Und wenn ihr schon dabei seid, abonniert diesen Podcast und gebt ihm 5 Sterne, so dass euren Freunden, Kollegen und der Familie Bescheid, dass sie den Podcast unbedingt leisten sollen. Das hilft euch extrem viel weiter. Und ich meine, bleibt mir nämlich viel zu sehen. Weil, bis die nächste Kehr, das war es von Mein Element. Bis dann. Tschüss.